our cares away. All the bands are here to bring good cheer your way. It's make-believe ballroom time and free to everyone. It's no time to fret, your dial is set for fun. Just close your eyes and visualize in your solitude. Your favorite bands are on the stands and Mr. Miller puts you in the mood. It's make-believe ballroom time, the hour of sweet romance. Here's your make-believe ballroom. Come on, children, let's dance, let's dance.
Hello, world. I'm Jeff Bressler, turning on the lights of the make-believe ballroom and welcoming you into my crystal studio for another program of classic big band hits from the 1930s and 40s. Get ready as I play for you some amazing big band, jazz, swing, blues, and boogie-woogie favorites, folks. You're listening to the Make-Believe Ballroom, broadcasting almost continuously since 1935. Hi, friends. Thanks for joining me in the Crystal Studio today for another show featuring 78 RPM recordings, fascinating stories of legendary band leaders, musicians, composers, and vocalists of the big band era, as well as listeners' emails and requests along the way. And speaking of along the way, let's boogie on down the road and stop along the way to listen to this.
There's a little place where everyone goes to see the way a washerwoman washes her clothes. If you like boogie-woogie rhythm, she's got a beat. Let the boogie-woogie washerwoman give you a treat. On every afternoon at one, the sessions begin, and all the boys from all the bands come down and sit in. They sit around and knock each other out when they play, while the boogie-woogie washerwoman washes all day. Rub-dub-dub, that's just the way she rubs. Rub-dub-dub, that's just the way she scrubs. Rub-dub-dub, she wears out all her tubs. She rubs and rubs her knuckles right on down to the nubs. Rub-dub-dub, that's how she kicks it off. Rub-dub-dub, she keeps it nice and soft. Rub-dub-dub, till someone hollers off, scrub me mama with a boogie beat. You really ought to visit there if you've never been. It doesn't cost a penny, just come down and walk in. If you like boogie-woogie rhythm, you'll get a treat. Let the boogie-woogie washer woman give you the beat.
Thank you.
On Columbia Records from 1941, Scrub Me Mama with a Boogie Beat, written by Don Ray and performed by Will Bradley and his orchestra, vocal by drummer Ray McKinley. Now, the song we just heard was, it was a follow-up to another Don Ray composed, Will Bradley and Ray McKinley gem, that reached number 2 on the Billboard charts.
Old creepy daddy came to the bar.
Village in Texas, there's a guy who plays the best piano by far. He can play piano in a way you like it, but the kind he plays the best is A to the bar. When he jams, it's a ball. He's the daddy of them all. The people gather round when he gets on the stand. Then when he plays, he gets a hand. The rhythm he plays puts the cats in a trance. Nobody there bothers to dance. And when he jams with the bass and guitar, they holler, oh, beat me, daddy, head to the bar. A plink, a plank, a plink, plank, plink, plank, plunking on the keys. A rip, a rap, a riff, rap, riffing out with ease. And when he jams with the bass and guitar, they holler, oh, beat me, daddy, head to the bar.
Ready, eight.
Also on Columbia Records, Beat Me Daddy, Eight to the Bar by Will Bradley and his orchestra featuring a Ray McKinley vocal with the great Freddie Slack playing the 88s. And that was an extended tune. It took up both the A and B side of that Columbia record. And a little boogie woogie to get things underway today on the Make Believe Ballroom. Let's play another record, then a listener's email.
Frankie Masters and his orchestra present Alice Bluegown.
From Vocalion Records, that was a 1919 tune revived in 1940, Alice Bluegown by Frankie Masters and his orchestra with a lovely vocal by Marion Francis, and that was a little bit of a cool down from my grand boogie-woogie opening to the show. Frankie Masters was, as you could tell by Alice Bluegown, a proponent of... What would you call it? I guess you would call it back then, it was easy listening music, pleasant music with an agreeable vocal here provided by Marion Francis. Very nice record. Really enjoyed listening to that. And I hope you are agreeable to listening to the rest of the show. And to this point, enjoying the music I am providing for you today in the Make Believe Ballroom. I'm going to read the email I promised in a few moments, but first, I forgot to mention, when I played the opening song for the program today, Scrub Me Mama with a Boogie Woogie Beat, Don Ray, the composer of that piece, provided us with his Boogie Woogie take on an Irish jig called the Washerwoman, which goes all the way back to the late 1700s. I want to play another song that used the theme of the Washerwoman. But first, if you have no idea what the Washerwoman sounds like as its original jig, well, take a quick listen. that jig, many of you must be saying. Now let's listen to the King Sisters' take.
Sure, a fine Irish lady, the poorly and humble Miss Molly O'Grady, is not her to grumble. She says doing washing is just so much fun. She never complains when her washing ain't done. Now Molly's in love with Murphy the cop, but when he returns from his beat on the block, he hears Molly singing over the tub, and he swings along with the rub-a-dub-dub. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, rub-rub. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, rub-dub. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, scrub-scrub. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, love-love. Molly's busy ringing, but you hear her singing, shoot the blue into me, Murphy, me boy. Molly's the type that the fellas all go for, but they never rate cause to try to stop sober. To Murphy the cop, sure, she gives all her time, cause he helps her hang out the clothes on the line. The Molly's a bellow, the village so gay, and there is a reason the people all say, when she hangs the washing not early each day, her clothes never have that tattletale gray. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, rub-rub. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, tub-tub. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, scrub-scrub. Rub-a-da-dub-dub-dub, love-love. Molly's busy ringing, but you hear her singing, look out! You get your finger in the ringer. Petelia, petelia, tie-tut. Without petelia, petelia, tie-tut. Without petelia, da-da-da-doo, petelia, da-da-doo, petelia, petelia, tie-tut. You get your finger in the ringer. Look up, be careful. Wash, wash, do-ra-do-ra-da-do, rub, 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 splash, splash, oh boy. Wash away your troubles, turn them into bubbles. Ra-da-da-da-da-do-do-da-da-do-do-da-da-do. Keep on singing and you never go wrong, as long as you are ringing, don't forget this song. Do-da-da, do-da-da, do-da-da-da-ho. She's in hot water all the time.
From Bluebird Records back in 1939, the King Sisters with Alvino Ray and his orchestra with their swingin' version of the Washerwoman that they title the Irish Washerwoman. I'm Jeff Bressler, and you're listening to the one, the only, the original Make-Believe Ballroom. And to reach me, I'm Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. That's Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. And one person that reached out to me was a longtime listener from Cleveland, one Dan Rockover, who sent an email that reads, Jeff, your show is on here now at 2 a.m. I am a dedicated listener, but won't lose sleep over you. I now am listening to the Spotify show at my leisure. That's the Spotify podcast. I prefer to have listeners join us on the radio, but Dan, I certainly don't want you to lose any sleep. He goes on to write, on many recent programs, you have told great stories where you say that you don't know if it is totally true or not. What about a story you are not sure about, so you don't tell it? And he signs that Dan. Dan, I think I get the gist of what you're writing. Let me play a record first from Fats Waller, and then a story that probably is embellished, or, well, who knows.
Sure is true when you say I love you. pretend to tell a lie. Millions of hearts have been broken, yes, yes. Just because these words were spoken. You know the words that were spoken? Here it is. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yes, but if you break my heart, I'll break your jaw and then I'll die. So be sure it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie. Now get on out there and tell your lie. What is it?
From Victor Records, it's A Sin to Tell a Lie by Fats Waller and His Rhythm, vocal by Fats, recorded in New York City, June the 5th, 1936. So as the story goes, back to the 1920s, the late 1920s, Fats was working at a club in Chicago. So he finished his set and he headed out the stage door. Must have been frightening because as he got out the stage door, he was quickly surrounded by a number of really tough-looking guys and pushed into the back seat of a car. So Fats obviously thought that he was in real trouble, but instead of being brought to a hideout or something, the car pulled up to the very busy Hawthorne Hotel, which happened to be the notorious gangster Al Capone's headquarters. It was located in Cicero, Illinois, and that's near Chicago. So Fats is moved inside where it's all wall-to-wall gangsters, women in glittering dresses. You get the picture, bottles of champagne, all the stuff you would imagine. And at the center of the room, there was a piano. So Al Capone, as it ends up, was throwing a birthday party for himself. And Fats Waller, it appeared, was the surprise guest of honor. And some guest of honor, because as the tale goes, at gunpoint, he was pushed to the keys. But if anyone knew how to turn a bad break into a good time, it was certainly Fats Waller. He allegedly sits down, rolls into a stride rhythm, and suddenly everybody is captivated and the room is all his. The gangsters laugh, the crowd dances, Al Capone beams and applauds, drinks flow, money rains down, and Fats allegedly keeps the party swinging into the early hours of the morning. By the end of the night, this quasi-kidnapping turned into the best-paying gig of Fats Waller's life. And Fats then is driven back to his hotel in Chicago, his pockets stuffed with cash and stories of Al Capone playing in his mind. So, Dan, the first time I heard this story, actually, I didn't hear it. I read the story, and I read it in a book that was written, and I think I still have the book around somewhere. It was written by Fat's son, and I'm trying to remember his first name, Maurice Waller. And I remember after I read it, that story, this was a number of years ago, I did some research. So I searched the Chicago newspapers from the late 20s for a story about this, and I Googled police records. I remember I looked at the Hawthorne Hotel to see what kind of unusual stories came out of the hotel during that era, you know, stuff like that. And nothing came up that seemed official to verify it, that Fats was quasi-kidnapped and brought to the Hawthorne for Al Capone's birthday. Well, you know, over time, stories told and retold tend to grow more dramatic, comical, and embellished. It is indeed a great story, but on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give it a 3. But when it comes to 10s, this song would not have been the truth in the late 20s because it was written by Fats Waller in 1937. But I scored a 10 because I think it seems like something Fats would have played for the occasion.
They have a new expression along Old Harlem Way that tells you when a party is 10 times more than gay. To say that things are jumping leaves not a single doubt that everything is in full swing when you hear someone shout. It is, the joint is jumping, it's really jumping. Come in, cats, and check your hats. I mean, this joint is jumping, the piano's thumping, the dancers are bumping. This here spot is more than hot. In fact, the joint is jumping. Check your weapons at the door. Be sure to pay your quarter. Burn your leather on the floor. Grab anybody's daughter. The roof is rocking. The neighbor's knocking. We're all bums when the wagon comes. I mean, the joint is jumping. Let it be. Yeah. Send this joint, boy. Yeah. That chick, that's my broad. Where'd you get that stuff at? Well, I'll knock you to your knees. What? Put this cat out of here. What? Get rid of that pistol. Get rid of that pistol. Yeah. Get rid of it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, man, it's really ready. No, baby, not now. I can't come over there right now. Moses on his toes, I mean, the joint is jumping. No time for talking. This place is walking, yes. Get the jug and cut the rug. I said the joint is jumping. Listen, get your pig feet bare and gin. There's plenty in the kitchen. Who is that that just came in? Just look at the way he's switching. Oh, baby. Don't mind the hour. I'm in power. I got bail if we go to jail. I said the joint is jumping. Don't give your right name. No, no, no.
The classic, The Joint is Jumpin', Fats Waller and his rhythm, recorded on Victor Records back in 1937. I'm Jeff Bressler, and you're listening to the weekly edition of the Make Believe Ballroom. Another email a little later on, perhaps two emails from our friend Max Catani, who listens each week in Italy. And if I forgot, thank you, Dan Rockover, for your email about the veracity of some big band era stories. Let me play a record while I think about any other stories that people may think were true, but were actually kind of fictitious. Recorded in New York City on the 1st of November, 1939, Jack Teagarden and his orchestra with Swingin' on the Teagarden Gate via Parlophone Records. So I told you before Jack Teagarden that I would think of some other stories that perhaps were embellished and not necessarily true. I was at an event a few months ago, and I was introduced to this guy who sold life insurance. And no one can feel more alone when you're trapped with someone you know wants to sell you something. Actually, he wasn't a bad guy. He knew that, or somebody told him that I host the Make-Believe Ballroom. So it was an icebreaker to the, I guess, prelude for his life insurance pitch to show me we were bros. He said that Gene Krupa was the first drummer to do solos and used as an example Benny Goodman's Sing, 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 which by coincidence I happen to play on a recent show. Now, this guy was not a big band fan, just, in the mood, Sing, 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 Begin the Begin, the standards. That was sort of his knowledge of things. So I told the guy nicely that that wasn't true about Krupa, and ran off the names of, Chick Webb, Baby Dodd, guys like that, who certainly were on recordings doing solos during Krupa's career. So with the theme of embellishment that I have been discussing, Krupa's solo in Sing, Sing, Sing certainly wasn't first, but it was the most famous and ultimately most commercially successful. So I guess it entered the annals of big band and jazz lore as the beginning of drum solos, and that's what this insurance guy had believed. But there is a happy ending to the story. The the insurance guy's wife called him over, and he said he would catch up with me later, which fortunately he never did. On Columbia Records, That Drummer's Band by Gene Krupa and his orchestra, recorded in New York City July the 13th, 1942. Wow, that was one of those late recordings right before the devastating musician strike took place, one of the first nails in the coffin that unfortunately led to the demise of the big band era. And I'm thinking, you know, I just smacked myself on the side of the head. It's funny, I'm telling these stories of the big band era fact versus fiction, and I just remembered one that was about this very make-believe ballroom. There was an old story that the make-believe ballroom, which started back in 1935, as I usually mention during the show, really hit its peak in the late 30s into the early 40s, and it's recorded and actually verified that over 25% of New York's radio audience tuned in to the Martin Block version of this program, and that was quite remarkable at the time, as it would be today, just phenomenal numbers. It turned Block into a major celebrity. So as the story I want to tell you goes, the show was so popular that New York City traffic was said to stop while people were listening to the broadcast of the Make-Believe Ballroom, but the image of the entire city of New York halting is almost certainly an exaggeration. But what was true, and I think it was written in a Walter Winchell column at the time, that Martin Block, when he entered or left the WNEW studios in New York, which at the time was located on Fifth Avenue, traffic would slow on the street so folks could get a good look at him. He was a massive star, the first true radio disc jockey and a radio legend from the big band era. So that was understandable. So another story that got a little bit stretched over the years. And just as an aside, the theme song I play each week to open the show is titled Make Believe Ballroom, and it was written by Glenn Miller and Martin Block, and performed by Glenn and the orchestra with vocals by the Modernaires. It's said, and this is a fact also, that Glenn Miller actually paid for the recording session of that song himself, recognizing the value of having his music associated with Block's Make-Believe Ballroom. By 1940, when the song was written, Martin Block was so powerful on the radio that he could literally make or break a record. So Miller's business instincts knew the value of his orchestra being heard to open the show each week.
Thank you.
Glenn Miller and his orchestra's arrangement of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, recorded for Victor Records on July the 16th, 1942, and that recording was the last commercial session for Glenn's civilian band before he entered the service. I'm Jeff Bressler, and I don't think I will ever stop traffic on the way out of the Crystal Studio, but I am your humble host of the Make-Believe Ballroom. As mentioned, first heard on the air in February of 1935, and almost continuously since then, minus a few gaps over the years. And I am delighted to occupy this seat once held by the likes of Martin Block, William B. Williams, and the great Steve Allen. And speaking of great, now an email from the great Max Catani from Italy. So Max, when he writes to us, covers a number of topics. And in this recent email, he discussed the technical aspect of recording records and the various quality of different labels. Max, I'm going to pass this email on to Lenny from down the block. As I mentioned last week, he's cruising around the world, whatever he's doing. But eventually he will get back to you on that. But you mentioned at the end of the email, and I found it interesting, that to emphasize a point about recordings, you sent me an MP3 of a recording that, as you stated, Young Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, made with Tommy Dorsey in February of 1939, the first time Sinatra recorded with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. So, Max, I will now share that historic record with our listeners.
Countryside has turned to blue. I had the moon right on my fingertips, and when first we kissed, there were stars on your lips. To be with you just made it seem that walking on snowy clouds was not a dream. You gave to me all this and heaven too. When the sky fell down and I met you, thank you.
Frank Sinatra with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, singing for the first time with Tommy Dorsey, a song titled The Song Is You, from a collection Max sent us called The Complete Studio Masters, volume number 1. Thanks for that, Max. And then a second email you sent us. Let me just pull this up. You wrote in this email, and this is cool. Quote, unquote, I attached a short radio program from 1937 with George Hall and his orchestra, which I find very interesting. The musical style is typical from the 30s, and the announcer gives us some synthetic curiosities about each piece that is played, a bit in the Jeff Bressler manner. How fantastic these radio programs are. They really give me the sensation of using a sort of time machine. I hope you and Lenny will appreciate it. So thank you, Max, for that. And let me just pull up in this. Hold on. I lost Max's file. Hold on. Okay, so let me play one of the cuts you sent me from George Hall and his orchestra and their radio remote.
You remember back in 1989 when the amusement center in New York was located in Greenwich Village on 14th Street? Since that time, Broadway has become the crossroads of the amusement world. And just around the New York corner, oh, a matter of 10 blocks or so, is 52nd Street, about which Dolly Dawn and her Dawn Patrol have this to say.
Every magazine gives attention, every magazine gives a mention to a street that's really quite the thing. Once you visit there, you'll adore it. Once you visit there, you'll be for it. Yes, you listen to my story about the street of swing. It was just a normal street until it got that off-time beat. Now it's the street where the swing cats meet, 52nd Street. Cause it's an endless ho-ho-ho, where the tar and trumpets blow. It's quite the thing when you're feeling low, 52nd Street. Debutantes who like the rhythm rock and make it their rendezvous. And though their swing is absolutely shocking, their mamas ain't blue cause their mamas swing too. It's the world that's set apart. It's where swinging got its start. It's like the beat of a swinging heart. Two blocks from 50, you'll find the lift beat, 52nd Street. Now listen to the swing harmonics coming from the well-known Onyx. Now, how's the market? Now, if full swing, you feel you're ailing. At the yacht club, we'll go sailing.
Second Street, George Hall and his orchestra. In this instance, the orchestra being called for that number, Dolly Dawn and her Dawn Patrol, sort of an interchangeable deal conceived by George and Dolly. And that's cool that you compared me to an announcer who broadcast in the heart of the big band era. Thank you so much, Max. Again, to reach me, Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. And now, as I peer at the big bull of a clock here on the wall in the Crystal Studio of the Make Believe Ballroom, I unfortunately see we are out of time. Boy, that hour flew by for me. I hope it also did for you. Thanks for joining me today. The Ballroom is broadcast to our affiliates across the USA and in the United Kingdom by the Public Radio Exchange, PRX, the Pacifica Network, and Global Community Radio, as well as independently distributed to many stations directly from the offices of the Crystal Studio. To reach me, I'm Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. That's Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. And once our shows clear, our radio affiliates, they're placed in archives and podcast form. You could go to MakeBelieveBallroom.com to hear over 200 past programs in the series, or go to your favorite podcast provider. Friends, until next week, this has been Jeff Bressler.